Sometimes a cigar is superb, and sometimes it's just called that. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that is Fingers Malloy from the people at Blackbird Cigar. Jonas Santana does some really fascinating work over there. This is the superb. That's what we are smoking. This is what they call the Robusto Gordo. It's a 5x54, which means it's 5 inches long. Always makes Fingers Malloy laugh. And the ring gauge is a 54. That's the diameter of the cigar, or how thick it is around. Now, what's interesting about this is that it's an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, but they do not disclose what is in the binder and the filler. They don't tell you. The only thing I can tell you, pre-light, giving it a little whiff, that Fingers Malloy is sent to the farm.
It's interesting. I hit that right away. When I got that on the nose, I said, yeah, that does have a scent of the farm, but it also has a little bit of, it's a weird mix for me of chocolate and scent of the farm.
Yeah, it's, now, scent of the farm, and that's a term we use, that it is, it's exactly what you think it is. Farm fresh, scent of the farm. By the way, it's awesome. But it is weird because there is a little bit of a dark fruit thing that happens as well. Now, some people do, and we don't do this, and we don't usually talk about this. They do an inhale cold. They bring it in cold to see if there's any kind of flavoring that you can get from it. Does it change a little bit? I have never found that doing that gives me a better impact on the cigar itself. So whether you want to do it as a matter of just, you know, you're interested in doing it and getting an idea of it, go ahead. I do admit, I do take a sniff of the cigar, but not, you know how you see it in the movies? They'll sniff the side of it. Let's see if this is a fine cigar today. No, the foot end, that's the end you light, right? You light the foot, you cut the cap, literally into the nostril. I mean, buy the cigar first. Don't be doing this in the humidor. Oh. Don't be that guy. Really get it right in there. And you can get some interesting flavors from that. And you might find that there are certain things that the nose gets that you're like, oh, that denotes something that I will probably like in the cigar once you start doing that on a regular.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up the cold draw because I don't do that either. And, you know,
very rarely.
Yeah. And, you know, people kind of commented last week on how we talked about how we're both really bad at retrohaling. And, you know, we got some tips sent to us and that's nice. But,
I mean, oh, bless your heart. You just sent me a tip on how to retrohale, how to bring it through the sinuses. Well, let me tell you, my body has said hell no to your ridiculous tips. But thanks, kitten.
One person said if you rub your right leg while you do it,
oh,
it distracts you from the smoke.
That's called the cricket method.
Oh.
Yo, that's when you rub your legs together. When you rub your right leg, no, that's just voodoo.
It's the Lindy. It's not the Lindy.
Smoking the Superb. I'm lighting mine right now. Fingers Malloy, you've had a couple of puffs. Where are you at with this cigar?
Well, right off the bat, I'm getting a little bit of that chocolate I was talking about and a white pepper for me. But that may be because of what I ate today. I don't know. But that's all I'm getting. But I mean, I just lit this a minute ago, folks.
Yeah, I immediately got myself a bit of wood right off there, right off the bat. But it's very, very nice. Hold on, I'm going in.
He's going in, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing what we like to do. We like to call the Pittsburgh puff.
Nice.
Thank you.
Nice. I also would have accepted the Hillsborough Herf.
Mm.
I would have gone with that. When you're just lighting up, right, you get your notebook out. What did you eat today? What did you drink today? What's the weather like? We've gone from absolutely beautiful for the eclipse. We had the best weather in the world for the eclipse. We're here in central Indiana. We're recording a Blend Bar cigar, blendbarcigar.com. So Indianapolis. We had the best weather. We had the best view. It was, the eclipse was superb. The cigar we're smoking lived up to the hype in every way. True or false?
True. What I don't understand, and I don't know how much of you want to get into this now. We could get into it later. Some people calling it life-changing.
We will get into that. in a little bit. But we had gorgeous weather at the beginning of the week, garbage weather towards the end of the week, cold, rainy, just a big hot mess. So this, when you get the notebook out, you want to talk about the weather, because it'll change, you know, your saliva, it'll change your palate, what you ate, what you drank, and then you break the scar up into thirds. First third, second third, and final third. And you write down the flavors that you're getting out of the cigar. And then when you try the cigar a month later or 6 months later, you go back and you check your notes. You see what's the same. That's the through line. That's really the experience and the flavors you're getting. And that's where your palate is for that smoke.
Yeah. I will say, for this being a Robusto, there's some nice heft to it. It does feel really good in the hand.
It does. Now, 54 is a little bit bigger than I like to be for mouthfeel, but it does feel great. It is smoking beautifully. There's now a sweetness that is building. You know, funny, you said that you got chocolate when you were giving it a smell. That is a nice, nice, nice flavor. There's a little bit of cream that's building.
Yep.
Immediately, I got that woody kind of flavor, which I happen to adore, by the way. But one of the things, two things. First, thank you to the guys at Stogie Press, because Blackbird, everything is named for birds, right? There's a series of cigars that they do, all named after birds. The Superb refers to the Greater Lafornia, which is known as Lafornia Superba.
You didn't know that?
I did not. Isn't a bird person an ornithologist? Fingers?
Oh, that's the guy that works on your eyes.
That's an ophthalmologist.
Oh, I always get those two confused. I have no idea. I'm just a blue-collar Joe who likes to enjoy a cigar with all of my friends around the country.
It is smoking beautifully. It's why it's called the Superb. It is named after a bird. The guys at Blackbird can do some very strong cigars.
Yeah.
They can do some knock you on your butt cigars. And then they'll have things like the Jackdaw, which is their Connecticut. I am not sure where this is going to land, but this is right off the quick, and I'm not really into the first third yet. I'm wondering if they've achieved a wonderful balance here. Because I think I can feel a little bit of a spice buildup.
Mm-hmm.
Just a hint. Nothing that's going to scare you off. And at a price point, Fingers Malloy, is this in your humidor at an MSRP of $9.50?
Stop it. Yes. Yeah. I can confidently say that, because I'm already enjoying it in the first third, and because of the amount of times I've enjoyed different Blackbird cigars, I know what I'm going to get quality-wise. I'm happy.
Yeah, they're a newer brand, but they've really been able to take off. And one of the things that they did better than a lot of new brands, especially in the era of COVID, was social media. So Jonas Santana is the guy who heads up Blackbird. Spoke with him when we were in Vegas. I'm going to bring that to you next. What Blackbird does is very cool. We first saw them come on the scene a couple of years back at the PCA, Premium Cigar Association trade show. Jonas is quite literally right over there. Don't look, don't look, don't move, don't look. They have got some really easy to do, easy to smoke blends. And then they've got some stuff for that Robusto shaker will knock you down. It's kind of incredible the way they blend and put things together. It's also interesting how they've been able to grow. Building a brand is not easy. We're talking about really tough work here. And yet, in short order, they've been able to build a brand that's actually shown a level of sustainability. I think some of the new stuff is right over here.
I get that. Hey, everything good?
Everything is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I love your energy.
I think you remembered my name. That's very impressive. That's right. I just give you the mic. Just took it. Took it like he belonged here. Hold on. First of all, it's great to see you.
Thank you.
We were just discussing the fact that the brand, you guys came on strong, came on early, social media wise, better than almost anybody out there, and you've been able to sustain. Is it the social media that allows you to sustain, or you just make it?
It's a complete mix. But first, I have a question for you.
Yeah, man.
What's your shirt size? I want it. You want my shirt size is extra small.
Oh yeah?
Oh yeah.
Wow, I'm right in my alley.
Ah, just svelte.
So I think it's a complete mix, man. It's how you created the brand, being unique. Your personality always work. How warm the people feel, how accessible you are to them, but also combine it with a quality that is not only about saying the word quality, it's taking care of everything you do. Back when you met me, I was in a 1,200 square feet. Now I'm in a 30,000 square feet. I'm able to save tobacco for a time. I'm able to re-ferment every single tobacco. So it's about taking care of every single step.
Right.
And then in combination of the social media, branding, shaking hands, and most important, being a man of your word.
So here's what you're going to do.
All right.
Fingers is going to bring the camera. You're going to introduce yourself to that camera and tell people what they're looking at right here.
All right.
Go.
Okay, I'm Jonas from Blackbird Cigar. And right here, I can show you my already sold out Coraline cigar that we dropped in TPE. It's going to be shipped again in late May. We have an Habano wrapper. I did it after we perfected every single blend of my current lines. Cactus Ranch is the state bird of Arizona. Short run, only 500 boxes for the year of 2024. I'm not going to say the blend because you got to find out. And you know how it is. Can clip my wings.
That's Jonas Santana. Blackbird Cigars as we're smoking the superb. So that was from when we saw him in Vegas. And it is true that what they've done social media wise has been kind of incredible. We've talked a lot about how hard it is to make a brand work right now. And the forces that have been against people, which is a weird thing. By the way, I don't think we introduced ourselves. Tea, Drink, Smoke, Tony Katz. That's me, Fingers Malloy, America's favorite amateur drinker right there. You find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. The tenacity that is necessary. We haven't gotten much into that part of it. The tenacity to building a brand, the tenacity to growing a brand, and that social media part of it, which becomes very, very strange and very, very peculiar because you end up being part of the, well, are you now playing in the influencer space? And as we have discussed, the influencer space is in part an issue. What happens in the influencer space in cigars is that you have people who are like, oh, here, try this cigar. But it's not that they know the cigar. It's not that they're exploring the cigars. It's that they look really good in a certain shirt, kind of enjoying cigars. That's part of the fundamental issue, Fingers, that when we take a look at Jonas Santana, we take a look at Blackbird Cigars and how they've built on the social media side, it's almost when you hear that, like, oh, is he just an influencer who's trying to do something? No, they've built a very, very good brand. And the cigars are not for everybody because they've got, as you know, they've got some punch you in the face cigars. But as it leads to this whole influencer thing, I almost think that this conversation is a teardown conversation. I don't mean it to be. I think in all spaces, it's time to start being wary of the quote unquote, feel the air quotes, influencer.
I don't think there's anything wrong with doing a whole tear down on influencers. I mean, listen, what sets Blackbird apart from the influencers is they have something to offer besides a pretty photo. And, you know, and there's nothing wrong with if you were able to build a brand based on how you look and your passion, that's fine. But what they do at Blackbird is you've got a solid product that goes well beyond having a really good social media team. Because as you know, and as we've talked about a lot, it's one thing to have, whether it's a celebrity put their name on a cigar or having social media, it's one thing to have that. You may bring people in the beginning, but you have to have a product behind it.
In order to keep them. Absolutely in order to keep them. But that was my... I mean, that's the point. They're a cigar brand, and I think a good one. And I like Jonas, and I like what they do. I appreciate what they do, even if not every cigar in that they do is for me. But this influencer thing, man, this influencer thing is a thing, and I think it's more than just cigars. It's everywhere. What is really being influenced? It's not. are we now, are we still at the place where we could say connection to Instagram model X or social media influencer Y really does mean an increase in sales? Or is it just, I mean, honestly, yeah, that's a hot chick.
I think a lot of it is, yeah, that's a hot chick.
Not always. I mean, we agree, not always.
Of course not.
Sometimes we're talking about solid stuff, and we see this with guys too, so yes. Settle down, sexist.
Right? But there are influencers out there that bring more to the table than, oh man, look at me smoking a cigar in a bikini. Don't I look great? Right. They'll highlight products that they think their audience would enjoy. They show you how to properly light a cigar, maybe give you tips on what it's like to go into a cigar lounge for the first time. So there are influencers out there that bring that sort of thing to the table, and God bless them, that's fantastic. But we've also run into people that all they do is put themselves in a bikini and smoke a cigar, and God bless them too, by the way.
Oh, I'm not saying they shouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah, and in fact, many of them, I say, continue what you're doing. You're doing a fantastic job. But bringing it back to what you said about Blackbird, they've got the social media team, but also they have a great product.
They just happen to have a really good social media team. We saw that the first time we met them. They're just really good. Not everybody is really good at it. Not everybody is adept at it and natural at it. And here's an example of it really did help them build the brand. Sometimes it's the other way, right? You're in the shop, the shop owners buy in, and they're recommending to their regulars and their people, this is a cigar you want to try, and things grow and build from there. And then you can get the article, then you get the mention, you talked about on our show, and it kind of builds out. They really were able to do it from a social media side, and it's pretty impressive. So appreciate talking to Jonas Santana. We're going to keep smoking this superb. And I'm telling you, they've got some cigars that are super easy fingers and some cigars that...
Oh, the Crow.
Yeah, the Crow?
I love the Crow.
Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Was the eclipse life-changing? This is the question. And Fingers Malloy says, absolutely not. It was just a car. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy. Mother's Day, Father's Day, around the corner, and that means Let's Go Bourbon and Let's Go Barbecue. Our two books, the perfect gift for Mother's Day and Father's Day, available at Amazon.com. Let's Go BBQ and Let's Go Bourbon. Great books, great reads, easy reads, chock full of information, and most importantly, love.
And who doesn't deserve love more than your mother?
Or your father?
Mother's Day's first.
That's true. That's true. Let's Go Bourbon. Let's Go BBQ. Let's Go Barbecue. Available at Amazon.com. Fingers Malloy. The total eclipse took place.
Yes.
This week. We are in central Indiana, the Indianapolis area. I had from my backyard a perfect view. The clouds were very high, and they were just the kind of like wispy clouds, so no obstruction. People who originally were going to watch this happen in Texas didn't like the weather reports. They drove overnight to get to Indiana and central Indiana because we had better weather. The actual temperature, maybe it was 70 degrees. It was beautiful, spectacular. People were gathered all over this state to watch it happen, and then it starts getting dark. And it starts getting darker. And if you're wearing the glasses, the true eclipse glasses, you can see the moon moving. And it does look creepy and sensational. But the sun, Fingers, is so bright that while it gets a little darker, sun is still shining while it's covered. But there comes a moment right before the totality. Right after, second contact is what it's called. That it's getting darker. And it starts getting colder. The temperature dropped 8-9 degrees during the eclipse, and then it's there. What you see in the movies, the pictures that you always see, that it is this black dot surrounded by this kind of moving light, which is known as the corona, the total eclipse. Fingers Malloy, did you see it with your own eyes?
Yes, I did.
And your take?
Well, first of all, let me say that
you're going to ruin it, aren't you?
Well, I'm a little bitter about the whole thing because
of course you are.
I'm not going to completely sidetrack us from what happened at my house over the week. But let's just say I needed a hotel room because there was a plumbing mishap and I couldn't find a hotel room in central Indiana over the weekend of the eclipse because of all the tourists who traveled from Texas, for instance, to come. So,
by the way, you said plumbing mishap. Why don't you tell us how many rooms were affected by the plumbing mishap?
A baker's dozen. No, nine. And it's bad. But we're getting it fixed and everything will be fine. But I was irritated that I could not get a hotel room in central Indiana. So when the eclipse came around on Monday, I was a little bit peeved because of that. And maybe that had an influence on my opinion of the whole thing. But I did see it. I had a hard time trusting the $2 eclipse glasses that I was wearing to protect my vision as I was staring into the sun. So I don't know if you felt comfortable with your glasses. I mean, mine said Made in America. Had an American flag on it, apple pie, the whole thing. And so I'm staring at it, but I can't look at it for very long because I'm paranoid that these I'm counting on these $2 glasses to prevent me from having permanent vision loss.
Well, my glasses were $3. Oh. So I felt totally safe. I had no issues whatsoever.
But I'll tell you the one thing that was very bizarre about the whole experience, and you already touched on it. So it was a little bit breezy. It wasn't ridiculously windy, but maybe a 7-8 mile an hour wind. And
how many knots would that be?
I don't know. Let me get my converter out and take my shoe off to figure it out. But the temperature change, you're sitting there and all of a sudden there'd be a little gust of wind. And then that cooler temperature would... It was really strange. And then to see, I was in an area where I was in a parking lot and there were street lights. I had to have the street lights come on for a few seconds. A few minutes, actually. That was weird, too. I did my best, and I don't know about where you were camped out. I was in an area where I needed to get home, but I was concerned about driving because I didn't know if, you know, animals would be completely spooked and you'd have deer running everywhere. So I thought it was best to stay parked. Were you?
I was in the backyard.
Okay.
And that weather change is the difference between seeing it in a movie and experiencing it. That you're watching things get darker and then you're feeling it happen. You're staring off into freaking space, man, wearing these $3 glasses that are supposed to protect you, and you can see it happening, and then it happens. You are at totality. You take the glasses off, and you're just staring at this thing that you understand why ancient civilizations thought it was the end of the universe.
Yes.
It is fascinating. The darkness and the cool, the chill that came on you. I would agree that it is not life-changing. But it is one of the very few things I can remember of any recent memory that has 1,000% lived up to the hype. I am thrilled that I was able to witness it. That's how incredible it was.
I completely agree with you from that standpoint of us living in central Indiana and being very fortunate that we were in the direct path and we could just go outside and experience the whole thing. But I would love to be able to pump truth serum in people that traveled 700, 800 miles to get their take if they really felt like it was worth it to take all the time, take time off of work, spend the kind of money that they had to on travel and what they had to on hotels, if it was really worth it to have that experience.
I think that's a good question. And that question really does explain how dead inside you really are. There are people who traveled to central Indiana from the UK. One of those guys, they were going to Texas first, didn't like the weather, rented a car, drove up.
It's amazing.
They drove up. They were there in the center of Indianapolis to be a part of it. I only hope they had a good time because it's, we don't have enough good times. You know, you talk about like news and depressing and stuff. you guys know that we both do radio outside of this. We do news talk radio and all sorts of things. The amount that I'm changing what I do, not my opinions, not my takes, you know, not my philosophies, but it is. People are looking at the news and they're looking at news cycles. They're like, this is terrible. And they're turning things off. Well, we live in a business where too many people turn things off. That's bad for business. So there are a lot of other things that I can cover and want to cover. And so it's not that I don't do the political and cultural things. It's just I find places for some other stuff. So in that vein, I hope people said, you know what? This doesn't happen every day. You know what? I'm with the kids. You know what? We made the trip. Let's enjoy it. Let it be something that we talk about. Do you remember that crazy time we did this? I hope people walk away with that. But my God, how easy was it to just walk outside?
Yes.
Right?
That was
and
nice.
Be here for it.
No, you bring up a good point. You know, we both do political talk radio, and a lot of times you could find yourself being really angry about what's going on in the news today. And it was a wonderful distraction. The news cycle was revolving around the eclipse. So, okay, you changed my mind.
Yeah, see? There it is. It was fun.
Couldn't get a hotel room.
Yeah, but that's not the fault of the eclipse.
I blame the moon and the sun.
You think the moon and the sun created a plumbing problem for
you? They conspired against me, and it's not the first time.
You know what? You sound like a guy who spends a lot of time on social media. Anything you want to say about fluoride?
Oh, can we spend the whole next hour on that?
No, we need to drink. Widow Jane. We've reviewed their bourbons before, but we went in a different direction this time. This group there, they get their water from the legendary Rosendale mines of upstate New York. Now, I, when it comes to rye, have a whole theory about Midwest rye versus East Coast rye, specifically the Northeast, and the different flavors that you get. I find myself more attracted to rye that comes out of the Midwest. I won't lie about it. But when you give me a rye that's called the Widow Jane Applewood Rye, well, at least I'm going to give it a shot. I mean, I'm not a savage. It's Eat, Drink, Smoke. I'm Tony Katz, and that right there is America's favorite amateur drinker, Fingers Malloy, the Widow Jane Applewood Rye, a blend of straight rye whiskeys finished with toasted applewood staves, coming in at 93 proof. Now, this is batch number 16 comes from 2023, so 46.5% alcohol by volume. If it's over 100 proof, it gets applause from Fingers, but this is only 93.
So you said that's batch 16.
This is batch 16.
I hear it's slightly better than batch 15,
but
not as good as batch 17.
That is exactly the kind of guy you are. So we've done some of their bourbons before and reviewed their bourbon. This is the first time we're reviewing their rye. So a rye is 51% rye in the mash bill, as opposed to bourbon, which is 51% corn, as prescribed by law. A stave is basically a piece of wood, in this case, applewood, that is put into the barrels. So the juice, whether it's a bourbon or whether it's a rye, is getting the flavor from the charred oak. That's what's doing. And the char is basically adding heat to it, adding flame to it. Sometimes it's a medium char, light char, it could be a heavy char, all different types, depending on the kinds of flavors you're trying to get. So the extra staves are a way of trying to impart a different flavor, a secondary flavor, a complementary flavor, depending on what the distiller wants, to the juice, in this case, to the rye.
Now, you love rye.
Daddy loves rye.
So my question,
in this conversation, Fingers Malloy, I am daddy.
There it is. My question to you is, I have a problem a lot of times with flavored whiskey. I like bourbon-flavored bourbon. I like whiskey-flavored whiskey. You start getting into something like cinnamon-flavored whiskey, it drives me absolutely crazy. You love a traditional rye. How do you feel before we've even tried this? Do you feel at all any negative thoughts about the fact that this is an applewood rye?
No, not at all. I want to see what it is they do. Widow Jane has got, I believe in the Latin, the term is crap ton. They have a crap ton bourbons. The 10-year, the Decadence, the Lucky 13, which we reviewed on the show. They have what's known as the Vaults, which is their 15-year. Then they've got the Paradigm Rye and the Applewood Rye. And then they've got a whole series of things, which I think they call their heirloom bourbons, including the Bloody Butcher, the chocolate malt bourbon. Like, maybe chocolate malt is not a place I would go, but the idea of Applewood doesn't bother me in the slightest. And let me tell you about that nose, Fingers Malloy. That's delicious. It's a little bit apple juice.
It is, but here's the one thing I noticed right away. You really have to stick your nose in the glass for this. Am I wrong? Is it just me?
Like, it doesn't overwhelm you. Sometimes Fingers will discuss that he knows what the nose of a bourbon is, and the bourbon's still 3 feet away. Like, you can get it from there. Here, and we're dealing with a Glencairn glass, right? It's got the foot, and then it bows out. It comes back in, so you can really get your nose in there and really concentrate on what those flavors are. And it's almost an apple juice. Like a spicy apple juice.
I was going to say, there's some spice in there as well. Not getting any of that ethanol alcohol on the nose. Just apple and spice for me.
I am a very slight touch of ethanol, which is that alcohol kind of thing. But it's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, that has a nice flavor. Now, the color is pretty pale, right? You look at that, whether it's to some natural light or to the light in the cigar lounge we're in, blendbarcigar.com. And that is light. It looks pale. It looks weak. It looks like apple juice.
Yeah, I was going to go with it looks like flat beer.
That's a really good description of the color. It's that kind of a pale golden right there. But Fingers, we don't get paid to look at it. That's not what we do. Fingers Malloy, you ready for this?
I've been ready for this all week.
This is the Widow Jane Applewood Rye, a blend of straight rye whiskeys, finished with toasted applewood staves. Fingers Malloy, he has done what is known as the Kentucky Chew. You move it around the palate, get a feel for it. Sometimes you take two sips, the first one to set the taste buds, the second sip really to get the flavors. Where are you at, Fingers?
It's nice. It's really nice. That apple is there. Not a whole heck of a lot of oak. There's a little bit of spice to it. You know, maybe a touch of citrus. But that apple, it's there, but it's not overpowering and smooth. I mean, there's absolutely no real sting on the tongue. There's nothing in the chest at all. I think if you like apple, I think you're going to like this.
So I usually find, as I said, things that I've had in the Midwest smoother than things that I've had in the Northeast. But you don't know until you try. The Widow Jane, Applewood Rye. Here I go, Fingers Malloy. To your health, l'chaim.
To my health, l'chaim. As he's going in, ladies and gentlemen, he got a nice little bit on the nose, and now he's doing what we like to call the Saginaw Swish.
What is, okay. No heat at all. But a nice dance and maneuver on the tongue. What is fascinating is, for as plain as it looked in the coloring, as thin as it looked in terms of viscosity on the glass, not sticking to the glass, envelops the tongue immediately. A full coating flavor. And you actually you are getting a little bit of oak.
You are.
Oh, absolutely I am. Absolutely, I am getting a little bit of oak, getting apple, getting a bit of citrus. It plays a little hotter than I thought it would on the finish. It plays a little bit hotter. And I think that is because it is a rye, right? We're talking about that rye spice is there. That is a nice piece. Like, I think I can't wait to put it on a cube.
Oh, see, I don't want to put
it on. Oh, really?
Yeah. The thing about that apple, too, is I don't want people to think like they're, it's schnapps-like. It's not. The apple is there, but it's not overwhelming. It's just a nice bit of apple.
And even with the citrus, there's fruit, but it is not candied.
Right.
It is just fruit. And that's a good finish. Right? That is a great feeling right now. Like, I'm afraid to take a puff of the cigar. Like, that's just in a little bit of the cheek. That feels good.
I want a bottle of that in October when I'm around a campfire. That screams fall to me.
That's a pleasurable experience. The Widow Jane Applewood Rye. Is it in our liquor cabinet? We will get to price coming up in just a bit. Find everything we do at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Follow us on X at Go Eat Drink Smoke and anywhere else. Eat Drink Smoke, your cigar, bourbon, foodie extravaganza. I'm Tony Katz. That's Fingers Malloy. You find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. Smoking the Superb from Blackbird Cigars, blackbirdcigar.com, with that Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Wait, did I get that right? Did I get it right? It was an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper? Yeah, I got it right.
I got it right.
Why did you tell me I got it wrong?
I said you got it right.
Yeah, that's right.
Follow your heart, Tony.
Is that what I should do?
Yes.
You're like a Hallmark card come to life.
So true.
Is what you are. The binder and the filler on this are a mystery. We're smoking the Robusto Gordo, the 5x54. I will admit I've had a little bit of a problem keeping it lit, but that could be for a whole host of reasons. We got this from Jonas Santana at the cigar show there in Vegas. It could have been the travel. It could have been how it kept in the humidor. The flavor is very, very easy. This is a real classic medium in strength. And at about $9.36 MSRP, that's what Half Wheel shows it at, $9.36 MSRP. So in that $8.50 to $10 range, yes. Oh, I'm in for this cigar. And it's what's fascinating is that the spice is as slight. I know that it is there, but it is not the thing. That bit of wood, that creamy has come in very nice. This is a much easier cigar than I anticipated. I know this is gonna be part of their core line. It's almost out of place to the other things that they do.
You think?
But yeah, just because the other things I think are a little more distinct and a little more powerful in some of them. But there's a place for this, and there's a place for this in my humidor. This, I don't know if I'm buying this by the box, but a couple of these in the humidor. And also, I'm not much of the Robusto guy. They do this as a Toro, a 6x52. I would like to try that. I would like to see what that does. But even the 54, it's a bigger ring gauge than I like to be. But they did a great job in ratio. They did a great job in putting this together. It's a nice, easy smoke that would work for almost any occasion.
Yeah, and this would definitely be in my humidor as well. I mentioned earlier that this stick, I think, in the afternoon, you got an afternoon tea time. You know, the Masters is this weekend. If you're out there getting ready to go on the golf course to play golf yourself, I think that this would be a great stick for the golf course or in the garage, you know, but the golf course particularly because it's under $10 a stick and you're getting a really good smoking experience.
And we've got this paired with the Widow Jane, widowjane.com. This is the Applewood Rye. So this is a blend of straight rye whiskeys coming in at 93 proof that's finished with toasted applewood staves. So pieces of wood, applewood in the barrel. It is a nice experience. Neat. Not really any heat going on with that. It really did fully coat the tongue and this apple and this citrus, this orange, but not candied, not overwhelming. I did get a little bit of oak out of it. Nice, nice work on this rye.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, as part of our job, Tony, you're going to put yours on the big rock. I'm going to put a couple of drops of cool water in mine.
Right,
and I don't want to.
You don't want to?
I don't want to, but it's one of the things
I'm not
do.
I'm telling you have to.
No, I have to for Eat, Drink, Smoke Nation. So I'm going to put a couple drops of cool water in mine, but you already have it on the rock. You want to go first this time?
I'm going. I've got it on the big rock.
Huh?
Oh, I just spilled some all over the place. Well, anyway, yeah. Here I go.
He's going in, ladies and gentlemen. He's doing what we like to call the Rochester Rock.
The what?
The Rochester Rock. Because you put it on a big rock.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can appreciate wanting to keep it neat. I can appreciate what it is. There's actually, it's a little more bitter on the taste, on the tongue. That orange, that is definitely muted. And the apple, a touch. It doesn't have that full coating on the tongue that it did before. Remember, when you're adding a cube, you're bringing down proof, right? Water is the only thing you're allowed to add to bourbon by law. So water brings down the proof. I know we're dealing with a rye, people. Go with me. but it will. It'll bring some things out. It'll mute other things. The finish is stronger. The finish is a little more intense and still nice. This is 6-1, half a dozen the other, and pick 'em. But I think for me, I would be neat. For me, I would be neat. Fingers Malloy added a little bit of water to it. We often say cool water. He's taking the water that's melted from his big rock and pouring a little bit of that in there, right? That's how he's doing it. Some people do the whole medicine dropper thing. If you want to be that guy, go right ahead. I'm not here to judge. Fingers, what do you say?
It brought down a little bit of the apple, brought out a little bit more spice for me. No complaints. I mean, it's just like you said, really, if someone handed it to me like this, I'd be fine with it. I liked it neat. It's just a winner. And what was the price point on that again?
Is this in your liquor cabinet, Fingers Malloy? I found this in a couple places. Is this in your liquor cabinet between $40 and $45 a bottle?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I think seeing the Applewood, as you discussed, Fingers, for some, you might think it's a shtick. Oh, it's apple flavored. It's not apple flavored. That's not a proper way to describe it. But I do think that this is a nice representation. It has the rye spice, but it is so nicely done with the apple and with that citrus. And for me, a little bit of the oak, that it plays very, very well. It has a uniqueness to it. It has a place. It has a place in the liquor cabinet, and your friends are going to like it.
Yeah, totally agree with you. And at that price point, it's a home run.
Fingers, it is time for News of the Week.
Tony, I'm going to suggest that we start a new segment on News of the Week every once in a while. Never been done before.
Never?
Never been done before. We'll call it, you know what really grinds my gears?
Is that what we're calling it?
Never been done before. That's a Family Guy reference for those folks out there who've never watched Family Guy.
Never been done before.
Never been done before.
Fingers Malloy now presents, not Seth MacFarlane's, What Grinds My Gears.
When city government gets too involved and gets in the way of citizens trying to help out their community. We're going to Dayton, Ohio, Tony, where a man was arrested after...
O-H-I-O.
Dayton, Ohio man was arrested after giving food to homeless people without a permit.
Yeah, it's not the first time that's happened.
I know. And it really grinds my gears.
Okay. Give me the basics of what has happened.
It's a group called Nourish Our Neighbors. They were handing out 300 free meals. They were distributing burritos to the homeless. Police officers stepped in and said, listen, you need a permit for this. One gentleman continued to hand out these burritos to the homeless, and he was then arrested. Later released, but he was arrested, and there was a meeting at the city council, and people were bringing up how this is an outrage. So there may be some change in the policy, but here you have a community trying to feed the homeless, and you've got government stepping in and getting in the way.
Now, I have a question, a couple questions. Where did this take place, this food distribution?
It was like in the town square.
So they just set up a table and said, free burritos.
Yes, for the homeless. I don't know if they set up a table or if they had a canopy or a big sign. I don't know, but they were handing out, they were focused on feeding the homeless.
Okay, everyone's going to have to hold on. Because I am going to share with you a problem with this methodology. As a matter of just liberty, if you want to give something to someone as you walk down the street, you should be allowed to. That is not my argument. What I want to get into, Fingers Malloy, is the problem with this, what I will refer to as do-goodery.
Do-goodery?
Do-goodery.
Do you need a permit for do-goodery?
Well, That's a secondary subject. My problem is do-goodery rarely does good. I will explain my position, and you will tell me, fingers Moy, whether you agree or I'm going to hell. Sound good?
Oh, I should be the arbiter for that?
The rent is too damn high.
Somebody said that once.
He was running for governor in New York? Was yes. He running for governor? Yeah, and he wore the gloves. Black man wore the gloves, and he would talk about the rent is too damn high. People said, I'm paying attention to this guy. And they didn't vote for him, but they paid attention.
He was the leader of the rent is too damn high party.
See, drink, smoke. I'm Tony Katz. That is Fingers Moloy. This list from Newsweek talks about rents and what the median rent is, the highs and the lows. Fingers Moloy, pick a state, any state, and I will tell you the average rent.
Can I just go with where I would think is the highest rent in the country?
Where do you think it's the highest?
It's either going to be Hawaii or California.
Hawaii, the average rent is $1,813. And in California, the average rent is $1,870.
I don't know how people do it. That's amazing. You are originally from California, but you lived in California for a while. That probably sounds exactly what you expect.
It is high. It is high. And no, I could not afford that. The cheapest rent is in West Virginia, where it's $795. Then you go to Arkansas at $846, North Dakota at $863, South Dakota at $866. It's because they're south right there. And then you get to Mississippi. In our beloved Indiana, $972. In Texas, $1,290. The rent conversation in America, along with the housing conversation in America, housing prices have not come down. Housing is still at an absolute premium. And that is why the rents have gone up in great, great measure. And now, with the inflation reports that came out, the consumer price index puts us at the Bureau of Labor Statistics has us at 3.5%. Remember, the Fed, their target rate is 2%. Inflation's gone back up. Without food and energy, which they consider volatile, so you take those out, you get to the core CPI, 3.8%, but it's up 0.4% for the month. So if you do a basic math and say 0.4% times 12, inflation's at 4.8%.
Yeah,
that's the way to do the mathematics. And the 10-year treasury is up, and so that means that the 30-year fixed is now going to be back over 7%. Rents are going to go up again.
It's crazy. Now, I just went to an inflation calculator. I still remember my first apartment was a one-bedroom. It was $275 a month. That was in 1993. In 2024 dollars, that's $594. Now, this is a Michigan apartment. It wasn't the penthouse suite by any stretch of the imagination, but I had indoor plumbing and one bedroom and a living room and a nice.
And the ladies didn't complain.
No, they certainly did not, my friend.
That's why we need more video. Your face saying that
creeped you out
right
a little.
There. We'll have this list up at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. It is interesting where things are going and how it's building. And remember, when they say California, the median rent is $1,870, they're also figuring in Bakersfield. They're figuring in the Inland Empire. They're figuring in areas that are not very populated. That is not San Francisco, Los Angeles.
Can you imagine?
Rent's impossible.
Can you imagine paying $4,000 a month for one bedroom in San Francisco and being surrounded by the stuff that's in San Francisco? And we love the fine folks of San Francisco. But when you have an app on your phone that will tell you where there's human waste on the sidewalk and you're paying $4,000 a month to live there. Yikes.
Right. It's better to only pay $2,000 a month than you'll put up with the human waste.
Exactly.
On the sidewalk. Let's get back to your story, Fingers Moloy. Dayton, Ohio. Dateline Dayton. A group gives out burritos to the homeless, and a man gets arrested for doing so because he doesn't have a permit. Now, he didn't go to jail. He was released. Where's the problem in this? Well, some argue that when you give out food to the homeless and it's not regulated, you could be giving bad food to the homeless. You could be giving things that have expired to the homeless, and you could be creating a health issue by giving food to the homeless. No, Fingers, I do not buy into that.
You want to hear what the mayor of Dayton said?
I
want
to hear what the mayor of Dayton, Ohio said.
He said, there's more to this story. Basically, we have, and I'm quoting, we have rules that we have to follow. It's just common sense. You just can't have people running around in public spaces like that, just giving stuff without having any sets of rules or guidelines.
Wow. All right, so we need a new mayor in Dayton. I get it. I get what you're saying here. I am not interested in limiting people's charitable efforts. I'm a believer in charity. I like charity because it comes from the private sector and is not government run. But the issue with giving out food to the homeless on the streets is that it encourages homelessness on the streets. If you tell me that church groups, if you tell me that specific organizations have specific places where people can go and you want to donate food to those places, I'm all in. If you are just setting up a couple of tables in the middle of the town square and handing out food to the homeless, you're encouraging, in my view, the homeless issue, as opposed to getting people to places where not only can they can get a meal, but they can also get help. Remember, homelessness is some people who are just flat out down on their luck. Homelessness is drug issues. Homelessness is mental issues. Remember, there are some people, it doesn't matter how much help you give them, they want to live on the streets. Like, that's just a reality that sometimes people will not accept. My issue with this is that it is the encouragement of a lifestyle that the city is best off not encouraging and is best off utilizing areas to help with more efficacy.
Well, maybe we're arguing the same thing. Encouragement versus enabling, basically the same thing.
In this situation, I would say yes.
Okay. What if it were, I don't know much about Nourish Our Neighborhoods. What if they were a group, say, we did a charity event for that veterans group.
Brownsburg Blessing Boxes in Brownsburg, Indiana.
And they were, but they were feeding the veterans. They were looking to
right,
help veterans.
Right, we've done a couple of these different things.
So what if Nourish Our Neighbors did more than just, they have a table set up, but bringing the homeless to them with free burritos, feeding them, but also trying to get their information and try to help get them off the streets. If it was more than just here's some food, have a nice day, would you feel better about that?
I don't know. I get the passions and I get the wanting to help. And the one thing that is great is that people want to help. They want to give. They want to be a part of making a life better so they feel better for themselves, because you talk about the nastiness of the news cycle and the anxieties people have. They want a way to connect. They want a way to feel good, and they want to do good. And that's why I call it do-goodery. But if there's no plan involved, as you're describing, I don't think you're doing good. Maybe as you're describing it with a plan involved, there's more there, and it's worth looking at. I can give that, but that's my top line, is that just encouraging or enabling homelessness is a bad idea. And I think sometimes the giving away of things does that.
I could see that. It also ticks me off that you need a permit.
Oh, we both have our issues with government. We really do. Smoking the Blackbird Superb. You can find this at your local tobacconist. Just released this Ecuadorian Habano wrapper, undisclosed binder in the filler. Find it at the MSRP, $9.36. This is a stick that could be in your humidor. You should give this a go. And the Widow Jane, the Applewood Rye, $40 to $45 a bottle, 93 proof. That's a nice, nice drink. Different than other ryes. But a nice drink with that apple and that citrus, and for me, a little bit of oak. Find everything at eatdrinksmokeshow.com. This is Eat Drink Smoke.
Follow Eat Drink Smoke on social media, on Twitter, @GoEatDrinkSmoke, on Facebook, facebook.com/eatdrinksmoke, and Instagram @eatdrinksmokepodcast.